Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you like vacuuming, you just might, emphasis on might, enjoy this. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, do you like the vacuuming?
Not really. Huh. I do it a lot.
Well, that just put the brakes on this conversation. You don't like it. You don't find it satisfying when you're vacuuming carpet, hardwood floor, and all of a sudden you're and you got something. It's like fishing. You got it, and you just sucked it up there, and it disappeared. It's just like, yeah, that I've accomplished something. You don't like the vacuuming? Yeah. You like mowing the lawn?
I'd love that.
You're inconsistent then. It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
All right. Answer honestly. Have you ever been vacuuming? You get near the floorboard and there's a crumb or a thread and you can't pick it up because it's too close, but you refuse to bend over and pick it up. So you just slam the vacuum.
Into the wall.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And then if you don't get it, if you're not successful, you finally give in, you bend over, pick it up.
Yeah.
But what do? You don't throw it away. You throw it to the middle of the room so you can just...
You can run over it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll teach you a lesson, Pally boy. If you like vacuuming, you might like this because we're going to do a little cleanup. If you recall just a wee bit ago, talking about that liberal organization, A Call to Christians, which is basically them using their religion to inform the government and to critique those who use their religion to try to form the government. And it just dawned on me that they used a strategy that's really tricky. I'm trying to think of the name of that communist word, fife, trife, tiffle, something like that. We talked about it a few weeks ago. It's a communist tactic to make you look dumb if you argue with them on a position. So you take a position and you phrase it in such a way that any disagreement with it makes it look like you're cruel. Well, I think there's another tactic that liberals tend to use. And I just noticed it when I was looking at this website, acalltochristians.org, with all the liberals, you know, saying, we believe this, you should do that, and you shouldn't tell people what to do with your beliefs while we're telling you what to do because our beliefs. The letter, remember I mentioned it was super long? There's a reason for that. It was just sentence after sentence that demands so much explanation. Like every, like parenthetical remark, no, wait a second, hold on, that's not good. And they hit you with so many of these, what appear at least on the surface, may have some credibility to them. But if you stop and actually analyze them, they don't. But you can't stop and analyze them because you can't stop and analyze everything. And one of that triffle, tiffle, communist word thing strategy, same thing. Not only does it make you look mean if you say, wait a second, I need to clarify that. Oh, you're mean because you don't want this or you believe in that. But it also takes forever to unwind it. And the same thing is true with what those liberals did. They write so many statements. So it's like, well, no, that's not, no, because they're here illegally. No, that's not what they're trying. You can't win. It's a strategy. And it's effective, unfortunately. And it's loaded, by the way, with the... Jimmy, what was the name of that communist word? Triffle, tiffle...
I'm looking.
Sniffle. Are you looking?
I'm asking AI, but it's got a new feature where it likes to think a lot and you can't make it stop.
Well, sure you can. Tell them to make it snappy. Who's the boss here? Speaking of AI, here's another cleanup for us. Was listening to the Spotify machine and the... If you work at Spotify, could you please talk to the people in traffic management at Spotify about not repeating the same commercials over and over again for those of us who are too cheap? Maybe that's the strategy. Because if you don't pay for it, they play commercials. I can live with that. It's a struggle to only get 5 changes per hour. But because I'm so cheap, I'm going to live with all of it. But they keep playing the same commercial. Maybe that's how they get you to upgrade. And the commercial that they kept playing, this one didn't bother me as much as others have. It's a podcast about AI. And it said something that immediately caught my attention. AI is not an oracle. AI is a genie. I think that has some truth to it. It doesn't give you the right information. It gives you your wish. What do you want? All right, I'm in a somewhat friendly banter with somebody who would like to provide a service for the ministry. And I looked up what it should cost for said service on my AI machine. And it was a rate a lot less than what was quoted. So he looks it up on his AI machine, feeds it the information as he sees it, and guess what? AI agreed with him. So I took his information, his exact information, and instead of it being, I presented this bid, I said, I received this bid, and I don't think it was fair. And guess what AI said? You're right. It's not fair. Well, wait, hold on a second. And that's when it dawned on me, it's not an oracle, it's a genie. You can rely on that to give you information beyond sheer facts or quotations or statistics that have been verified and certified. If you ask it to think, you are getting something other than the truth. Almost always, it's not an oracle, it's a genie. And it was interesting, they said that if the hardest job in AI is not doing the building of AI, the technological aspect of AI, it's managing it and training people to be able to get the right information from it, because it does take a lot. If you want AI to do something, you have to feed it, you have to massage it, you have to make sure that you're instructing it rightly so that you get what it is that you are presumably needing from it. And I thought, that's AI in a nutshell. That is AI in a nutshell. It is not trustworthy unless you manage it well. So if you are using it, don't be making big life decisions like so many people are with the asking AI about spiritual things. Very bad idea. What is the name of the fellow? Jack? Jack. We're just going to call him Jack. We're on a first name basis. He owns a 10,000 employee shop. He's a technology guy. Dorsey. Jack Dorsey, I believe. And he just laid off 4,000 people. Why? AI. AI. They took the jobs of 4,000 people. And I thought, and how are we going to replace those jobs? To date, I have not seen a way that those jobs are going to be replaced. AI doesn't scare me because, well, the first country that get it is going to own the planet. Nah, I just don't buy it. That's never been true with anything. Henry Ford invented the car, but they've got him now in China because that's just the way the globe works. Everybody will have the same access. People will catch up to those who make a breakthrough. I don't think that it's going to run the universe. It's not capable of that anyway, but I do think it's going to trash a lot of people's lives, as 4,000 people. And having said that, I did read something that just might possibly be a tip for you. Oh, where did it go? Okay, I've got to find this statistic for you. Got it. Here it is. Three Village. I don't know what Three Village is. It's a town. The Three Village Central School District Board of Education, they're starting to have serious conversations because of the Assistant Superintendent for Human Resources claiming 59.4% of current staff will become retirement eligible by 2036. So there's going to be a ton of vacancies in teaching. The largest department will be elementary teachers. Educators become eligible for their retirement over the next 10 years. So there's going to be a lot of jobs available. So if you are young and you're thinking about a vocation, teaching kids is a beautiful thing to do. And maybe, just maybe, with all of the job openings, what if more Christians became school teachers? Maybe the whole woke business and sex ed and DEI and retelling of history might actually start shifting in the other direction. So if you are thinking about a job that I think will have some security, we're always going to need a human being in the classroom. I can't imagine Well, I guess robots could take that over too. But in the meantime, I think it might be an opportunity for you if you're looking to study for a career where you're actually going to be needed before getting laid off by AI. Jimmy, did you find it?
No, but I'm on the trail.
Well, you just stay on that trail. And please, you know what? Here's another encouragement to become a teacher, perhaps specifically a kindergarten teacher. Headline: a North Carolina kindergarten teacher was just fired because he identified as trans wolf. What in the world? North Carolina! He identified as trans wolf, wore a collar and tail in class. It was a substitute teacher. How did he get through? Were there no interviews? Worked with kindergarten and pre-K classes, sometimes wore women's clothing along with a dog collar and an animal tail while at school. Sometimes asked students to howl like wolves and told the children that he turned into a wolf at night, making a lot of the kids afraid he was going to come and eat them. The teacher told students he was actually a woman who likes boys. Oh, boy. Please, Christian, think about becoming a kindergarten teacher. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever had a question that you weren't sure your small group could handle? Like, what does the Bible actually say about mental health? How do you comfort someone who just lost a spouse? Or what does biblical manhood look like for a 20-something who's never seen and modeled? These aren't easy topics, but they're the exact topics our Fortis forums tackle. We've got Dr. Greg Gifford on psychology versus scripture. Dr. Adam Tyson walks guys through what it means to be a man after God's own heart. Libby Glosson and Martha Peace on what joy-filled marriage actually looks like. And Dr. John Grotz on moving theology from your head to your heart. And all of these Fortis forums are available right now on Fortis Plus for free on your phone, your tablet, and even your TV. These are real conversations on real issues with people who actually know their Bibles. So you can go and download the Fortis Plus app right now on wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options: be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It began with the letter T. Pretty sure of that. This is Wretched Radio. You found the word.
I did.
It begins with T.
That's right. You're
is
right.
It, is it T-ful? T-I-F-L-E?
Close.
Okay. What is it?
Tifa.
Tifa.
T-I-F-A.
Well, see, here's what you don't know. That's the singular. The plural is T-ful. Because the talk show host
never
can't
wrong.
Be wrong. So that's the strategy of the communists to win arguments and to persuade people. Frame it in such a way that you simply do not have the time to argue against it. And if you endeavor to do so, you look like you're cruel for wanting to take a different position. It's not the same as Mott and Bailey, but it is a tactic. And I think the other tactic that I just saw on full display was from that liberal group of theologians who just bombard you with so much. It's like on and on and on. And so many of the sentences, well, let me just torture you one more time and give you an example of this, because yikes, I think it is effective to a degree. And we just need to be aware of it. So I'm going to read, this is why we write. There are moments that call for repentance. Well, that sounds good. That's Christian. And resistance.
Wait, what?
They use the word resistance multiple times, by the way. Courage and conviction, faith and fortitude. This is one of those moments. Okay, you could affirm all of that. But what do they mean by repentance? From whom? Resistance. Define it, please. Courage to do what? The question is, what will we do now? Now, this is where they really lay it on. We're facing a cruel and oppressive government. Okay, that alone requires like unpacking. And we haven't even completed the sentence yet. Are we facing a cruel and oppressive government? For instance, I could respond and say, well, who are they oppressing exactly? And furthermore, if you're not a legal citizen, this isn't your government. And it just takes days to unwind this. And what is the result? It's kind of Tifa-like. We're facing a cruel and oppressive government. Well, hold on. I don't think so. Suddenly, you like you're okay with cruelty and oppression. It continues. Citizens and immigrants being demonized, disappointed, and even killed. Well, no, wait a second. You mean the people who like tried to kill a police officer and got killed in response? Yeah, so yeah, but see how you have to just break it all down? Haven't even finished the sentence yet. The erosion of hard-won rights and freedoms, which ones are we talking about here? And a calculated effort to reverse America's growing racial and ethnic diversity effort. Is that what's happening here so that we're racist? Well, let me explain why that sentence is not exactly right or correct. By the way, the sentence isn't done. This is very Pauline. This is like the longest run-on sentence, all of which are pushing us toward authoritarianism and imperial rule. Okay. That is so much, and it is loaded with so many things that demand some sort of defining and tightening up. You can't engage with it. You can't engage with this. And it's a tactic of the liberals. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard this. Hasn't been announced yet. It appears just awkward. Awkward. It appears that maybe I'm getting the award for the nicest talk show host of the year.
Oh, who's giving it? You?
Well, yeah, right. Exactly. I guess I didn't hear you immediately. So apparently you're like my little children. Dad. Oh, me. Okay, I get your jab. All right, I got it. No, I'm going to be nicer because there's a headline that I just read and I went, ooh, I wouldn't phrase it that way because I am really set against telling local pastors what to do. I can encourage, if somebody's living in sin, okay, well, that's pretty straightforward and easy. But the way that a pastor chooses to run a church, man, we either believe in the autonomy of the local church or we don't. And so I would soften up this headline that says 5 warning signs in the American church leaders' must address. No, they must not necessarily address it, but they might want to think about it. So being the nice talk show host I am, that is the way I will present this to you, dear pastor. These are things that you might want to consider examining in the context of your local church to see, do we need some shoring up? This is from State of Christianity in America. They did a long report. From Back to the Bible. I didn't know that ministry was, is it the same ministry? Is it a part of that seminary in Denver you can't figure out?
Maybe, it could be.
I think I maybe just did a TIFA on you. If I do another one, I'll have done TIFAs on you. It's the SALT Index from Back to the, that was Woodrow Kroll. Jimmy, would you look up who's leading Back to the Bible?
Okay.
I remember Woodrow Kroll. I don't know that I listened to him constantly just based on listening patterns, because back then there weren't no such thing as Spotify. You had to listen to the program when it was on. You didn't get to program radio, it programmed you. And I always thought he was a nice man, and I thought he was biblical, everything that I recall hearing from him. And he just had a kindly voice. Woodrow Kroll from Back to the Bible. Let me know if you figure out who it is now. So here's one thing for you to consider, Pastor. Core beliefs are widely held, but salvation assurance is alarmingly low. And it cites a bunch of statistics to support that. And I can tell you anecdotally, it's true. The issue of assurance, you'd be shocked. Oh, there are so many dear saints that you just wouldn't imagine who wobble. They just, I'm doing better today, yesterday with tomorrow. I hope that I'm feeling a little bit more secure in my salvation. It's just a malady, and it's not new. The Puritans, they discuss this issue that people need preaching that helps them to know that they can rest and trust the Lord. So, Pastor, if you weren't aware of that, I might possibly, humbly, nicely suggest you consider what might you be doing to shore people up in their assurance. Number two, Bible engagement and community lag far behind from prayer. So apparently people are claiming they pray a lot, but engaging with their Bible, not so much. They're doing more praying. Now, I don't know what that looks like. It could be mealtime prayers. It could be morning, Lord, thank you for the day. Bless it and keep my kids safe. Amen. And off to work you go. And then it could be right before you fall asleep and start drooling on your pillow. Thank you for this day. You're out. I don't know. But apparently there's more of that than Bible engagement and community, that people are not, they're not plugged into their church and living in Christian community. The belief, here's another one that I think is huge. They didn't cite this as a different area of potential concern for a local church, but they write this: the belief practice gap. In other words, knowledge of faith and application of faith, there's a gap, reveals that many claim to have faith, but few integrate it into daily rhythms or community. Wait a second. We've got a podcast that is called Integrated. That's exactly what it is about, because it is a challenge. And it is good to have a wise sage voice like John Krotz be able to say, here's how you can look at this. Here's how you can do this so that it's all working together. Jimmy, I've heard there's a book coming out. Now, apparently it's December 1st is the date. I don't know. December, called Go Serve Your King. Have you heard about it?
I've heard some rumblings.
It's intended to bring that dualistic propensity under control so that you realize. See, here's the interesting thing. You actually can't be separated from your faith. That's because no matter what you do, you are operating in God's closed system. You can't get out of it. You are contributing to the glory of God. One way, you're either doing it well or you're doing it poorly. You're doing it positively or you're doing it negatively, but you are contributing to the glory of God. You just need to be aware of it and understand how it's functioning so that you can participate in it and experience the joy of your salvation. I'll let you know when the date changes. By the way, who's running Back to the Bible?
Dr. Arnie Cole.
Ah, Arnie Cole. I don't know, Arnie. Sounds like a nice fellow. There seems to be a shallow understanding of Christian principles where Christian language is familiar, but not formative. Number three, discipleship is stagnant. People aren't discipling, nor are they being discipled. Internal transformation outpaces external change. So they're feeling like they're changing on the inside, but when friends and family are asked, they're not seeing it. Uh-oh, that can be a problem, that people aren't seeing the fruit of regeneration in other people. All of these, I think, can be helped mightily from the pulpit. Mightily. The Christian history of being wobbly in salvation and assurance and not knowing how to integrate their faith with reality, it has a long history. What say we put an end to that chapter by the way that we preach, exalt Jesus, and show how he is a part of our lives 24/7. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.